Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together and worship you and hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for Ralph's testimony this morning and how your word is going out and changing lives and touching lives and bringing wholeness and love and joy and your peace to people around the world. Thanks for your presence this morning and help us to be open to hearing your word and taking it into our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
First reading is Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 to 19, page 573 in your pew Bible. For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you refused and said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we shall ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one, at the threat of 5 you shall flee, until you are left like the flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on the hill. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you mercy. He will rise up to show mercy to you, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Truly, O people of Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, page 816 in your pew Bible. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He woke up and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Ascends the readings for today.
I thought I'd start out by terrifying you here this morning. There's only 31 days till Christmas. Isn't that a scary thought? I mean, think about all the things that you've got to do. And I mean, that all sorts of stuff can come and start whipping. Oh, I got to get this done. I got to get that done. And I don't know if many of you make lists. The list is so long there. I'd like us to start out with a little meditation here this morning. Just close your eyes. And imagine that you're out in Lake Superior here, and you're in a boat. Thank you, Lord. And the wind's starting to pick up. And all those things that you feel like you got to get done in this busy season, your to-do list, the thoughts, the people you got to get a hold of, the cards you've got to write, everything that's just kind of making you want to hurry or feel like you've got to hurry are just whipping at you. And then imagine Jesus there in the boat with you. He says, quiet. Be still. Isn't it a beautiful thing to have Jesus desire to come and speak his peace into our hearts? In that it's such a beautiful thing to know that peace of Christ, in to know that he wants us to experience his peace, and he wants us to be, as that prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. One of the things that, as I may have mentioned before, is Chris Corsi and Jim Wilder have some kind of basic five relational skills, spiritual skills. We've kind of gone through them. One of them is kind of restoring joy in our life. How do we restore joy in our life? How do we keep our relational circuits open, both with God and with each other? Another one of the basic five is appreciation. We're going to talk about that next Sunday. Thanksgiving weekend, I thought, would be an appropriate one for that. But another one is just quietness. It's maybe kind of weird thinking about that, being able to be quiet as a relational skill. We're maybe more used to hearing it as kid. Would you just be quiet? Right? And kind of being scared into being quiet. But quiet is not just an absence of noise. There may be times we just want an absence of noise. We like some peace and quiet. But it's deeper than that. And I'd like to have us look at our first lesson for today from Isaiah 30. And it's a beautiful passage there. This is what the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. That's from the New International Version. I like the version that Ruth read for us here, because it's actually a little closer, I think, to the Hebrew. Could also be translated in returning and rest, you shall be saved or rescued or liberated. And I really like returning better than that, because the word repentance, I don't know what that conjures up in your mind. Repent, sinners, is kind of what comes to mind, you know, the Jonathan Edwards, the sinner in the hand of an angry God, you know, and I'm thinking, that's terrifying to me. And that's kind of the picture that I have in my mind of repentance. And it's really important that we understand what story it is we're telling. When I hear the word returning, the picture that comes to mind is a biblical one. And it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible that Jesus tells. And it's the parable of the prodigal son. I mean, he finally comes to his senses, my life isn't working out. You know, I've tried this whole sin thing, and it's not working. And he comes to his senses, and he returns home. And what's the attitude of the father when he comes home? It's one of love. And he's running out to that son to embrace him and hold him. And then he has a celebration for him. In thinking about that, you know, how is it that we're, as that verse says, as we're saved? Or how do we come into salvation? I've been translating in my devotional time through James, you know, and at the beginning of that it says, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. You know, we can try and get people to change through anger, and we'll get a momentary change. Oh, not going to go there again, right? But is it the kind of change that we really are looking for there? It's really that love of God. Don't you know that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance? It's the goodness and it's the love of Jesus that works real change in our hearts and in our lives. And rest. Isaiah says, in returning in rest. And you know, this really follows well on that whole idea of returning home. Because where is it that we should be able to rest? It's in the arms of our loving Father. It's in our spiritual home and in Jesus that we ought to be able to rest. You see, fear pushes us away, but love draws us in and enables us to rest. Now, how can we do this just even in a practical way? If we're feeling like we're in a hurry, or we're feeling kind of rushed, what can we do in those times? Well, one of the beautiful things, I mean, in our opening hymn, we sang, "Breathe on me, breath of God." It's really a beautiful metaphor that actually works. The cool thing, in the Old Testament, the word for spirit is ruach. And what does that sound? It sounds a little bit like the wind, doesn't it? Because, and the thing is that word ruach can be translated spirit or breath or wind. And one of the ways that I've learned to quiet myself is actually by taking a few deep breaths. And as I take some deep breaths, I just say, Spirit, come, I need your help. Breathe on me, breath of God. And as we do that, then we can calm ourselves enough to listen. And what I think is beautiful is that God wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to give us better ideas than the thoughts that are running through our heads sometimes. I mean, some of my favorite novels are those that really kind of get into the heads of the characters, where they're telling you the thoughts, and you know, they'll have a thought go through their head and they say, "No, I better not say that." And what you have to do in order to not say that thing and just blurt it out that way is to pause and let the Spirit speak to us and say, "Do you really want to say that? Is that really going to help your relationship here? Is this going to bring both you and them closer to Jesus?" Interesting to think about, doesn't it? That pause gives the Spirit time to work in our hearts and change our minds. Now it goes on, it says, "In quietness and trust is your strength." Now, that's kind of a weird statement when you stop and think about it, isn't it? I mean, what is our culture's idea of strength? It's coming in guns blazing, right? It's coming in with a bulldozer, and boy, I'm going to level the ground here, boy, right? That's a concept of strength. God is so contrary, isn't he? "In quietness and trust shall be your strength." Again, we have that verse from James 1, "The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God." And that's often what's fueling that anger, right? That so-called strength is anger. But you got to notice here that it's not kind of the freeze response of fear? I mean, you can be quiet because I don't want to get exploded at here, right? There is that fight, flight, or freeze response that we have to danger that'll make us sometimes either go quiet or, you know, get angry and fight or just run away. It's kind of interesting even to think about it. The anger isn't the primary emotion here. It's actually fear. The fear is the deeper thing going on, and quite often anger is just the secondary emotion underlying some deeper thing. You know, in us guys, it's not allowed for boys to cry or to be afraid, you know, so we'll cover it up with anger sometimes, both of those, right? But in quietness or calmness and trust shall be your strength. It's pausing and taking deep breaths and asking God, what do you want to do here? What do you want in this situation here? Are my relational circuits on? Am I in touch with you, God? Am I wanting to be in touch with this other person here? Just to remind you of the some clues that way from Chris Corsi and Jim Wilder. Remember the cake analogy or cake an acronym? Am I curious? Am I curious about what the other person is thinking or might be feeling? Appreciation. Like I said, we're going to talk about that one a little more. Am I feeling grateful for them at this point? Can I be kind? Am I thinking about kind things to do for them? Or am I thinking kind thoughts about them? If I'm not thinking kind thoughts, I'm not in touch with the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And then the E in cake is eyes. You know, do I have loving eyes towards them? It's, we know what a glare is, right? That's not what he's talking about here. It's more, can I look kindly at the other person? Are my relational circuits on? I mean, that takes strength to say, I still want to be connected to you, even though I'm kind of upset right at the moment. That takes real strength, doesn't it? And one of the fun guys I've gotten on to listening to lately is a guy named Chris Voss, who was a hostage negotiator for 25 years with the FBI. He went around the world getting people out of nasty situations. And he said, when I get on the phone with somebody who's taken a hostage, you know how I talk to them? He said, I put on my late night DJ voice. And he says, I don't ask them how they are. We know they're already upset. Right? He actually uses that. And I've actually started doing that for my own. When I come up to somebody like down at Julie's or at Zup's, I've quit asking them, well, how are you today? I kind of look at them, and if they're looking kind of frazzled, I said, looks like you've been kind of busy today. Oh, and they get a smile on their face because somebody understands what they've been going through. And so with Chris Voss, he says, I have very calm voice. You know, how are we going to get you out of this? This is really a hard situation for you and for me. What can we do to work together here? He doesn't come in all guns and blazes like the movie show, right? And then he also says his name. Hi, I'm Chris. What's your name? Who am I talking to here? Makes it personal. He tries to establish the relationship. And that's the beauty of this passage here. It's in quietness or calmness. And trust shall be your strength. Notice here he doesn't say, have the right ideas. The right ideas are good and important, but trust is a relational word. And we're not made to handle difficulty by ourselves. You know that, don't you? God wants us to trust in Him and look to Him in these stormy situations like Jesus found Himself in with the disciples. He wants us to know that He's there in the boat with us. And He wants us to be in trusting relationship with each other. We're not made to handle our problems alone. Do you know that? We need a good friend. We need somebody who knows all of us, that we can be honest with and tell, you know, I'm going through kind of a stormy time right now. Somebody I can share with that way. And God wants to be that for us in the body of Christ. That's what we're each called to be, is supportive and encouraging of each other. The sad thing is this verse ends with but you would have none of it. But you would have none of us. Aren't those incredibly sad words? You would have none of us? And what was the result? Oh, you're going to flee. You know, you're going to get chased and you're going to run and it's just going to get worse and worse for you. The beautiful thing in verse 18 is it comes back and it says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for Him. And the beautiful thing here is that, I mean, you see, the Lord's heart, He longs for us. You know that God is longing for each one of you? That He is desiring to be with each one of you, encourage each one of you. And the Hebrew uses the same word here when that our translators translated as wait for Him. It's who long for Him. But you see, it's the love of Jesus that's drawing us to Him. And His longing for us also creates in us that desire for Him. And so I'd like to have us just draw close to God right now. I'm going to show you one of my favorite ways of quieting myself. Use this practically every day. It's really an encouraging thing. They've got 1 minute, 3 minute, 5 minute, and 10 minute pauses here. I'm just going to conclude with a 1 minute pause, all right? This gives you a little a taste of what it's like. Now, you'll hear there's some music in the background of it, and it gives you a clue, and it actually says on the screen in these things, there's a beautiful scene with it, but it'll breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, and you can hear it in the music, and just slows your breath down as John or his wife Stassi, they both do these things as they're praying a prayer of just giving all those things that are making us anxious over to God. Hopefully,
Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. I give everyone and everything to you, God.
Breathe in.
Breathe out. I give myself to you, Jesus, for union with you. I am created for union with you, God. I give everything in me for union with you, Lord. I need more of you, God. Fill me with more of you. That's good. That's enough for now.
Amen. Now as you go your way, may Christ go with you, may go before you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, over you to protect you, and within you to fill you with his love and joy and peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.